And hello, everybody. This is Gene King, and welcome to a Media Notes edition of the Medium's Messages and More podcast. Let's kick things off with a piece of research that's been published by Civic Science, who reports of the rise of social media in its place as a primary outlet for breaking news for Americans. Now, we know that social media has risen through the ranks of media channels as a popular source for news, for good or for bad, but Civic Science broke this down to specifically breaking news, and their research really indicates the ascension of social media for Americans and breaking news. It makes sense. I, for one, typically will go to X. That's my platform of choice since I've been using it for years and years. And to be honest, for all of the years that I have been utilizing X, it has primarily been for breaking news, not for news in general, really, but for breaking news. And so I wasn't too surprised when this research came out, because I've been doing this myself for a long time now, where a piece of breaking news may come across my phone, and it's a short headline or a brief synopsis, a paragraph of what the breaking news is. Or you'll see something maybe, you know, on Facebook, or you'll get a text message or something with just, you know, little snippets. And then I would go to X and typically find breaking news being covered by legitimate news sources of all types, mainstream, alternative, small business news sites. And so I have found X to be a very good source for breaking news. And this piece of research published by Civic Science in May really indicates just how social media has risen. So they surveyed almost 46,000 U.S. adults beginning on New Year's Day. And their research, their survey of these nearly 46,000 Americans went from January 1st of 2024 to the middle of May 2025. So that's really, you know, impressive that they have more than a year, almost a year and a half, of surveying more than almost 46,000 Americans. So this is a snapshot of nearly a year and a half, and their conclusions are that social media, when it comes to breaking news, is only second to a local news channel, which surprised me. It really did surprise me. Now, when they say a local news channel, they are specifically talking about television, traditional television. And I really found that a little surprising, because in 2025, breaking news, I would not think of going to a local television channel for breaking news coverage, unless we're talking about something, you know, really, really substantial, and typically national, of national interest, right? But if there's, you know, breaking news, and from what I can see, Civic Science did not really qualify what breaking news could be. So you have to kind of look into this a little bit with some speculation or assumptions that breaking news is a wide, you know, topic for their research purposes. But Civic Science does report in this survey that a local news television station is the number one go-to channel for breaking news for Americans. But right after that now is social media. And according to Civic Science, local news channel as the first choice is hovering around, it looks like here, about 35%. And then coming in at it looks about 20% is social media. Then after that, it gets very competitive. The space between third, fourth, and fifth, and even sixth actually, is pretty tight. But coming in after social media would be a national network news channel. So that's interesting, because depending on the time of day, right? Now, at least here in the New York City market where I live, you know, is there much distinction between a local news and a national network news if it's a really big breaking news story? No, because often in a big market like New York City, the national network will take over the reporting from local. But nonetheless, national network news is the third choice. And then right behind that, although it's falling, is a national news website. And that's interesting. National news website came in fourth. And again, I'm a little surprised on that, because after going to social, after going to social media for breaking news, I would typically go to a website, and I would go to a so-called national news website. But in Civic Sciences research, national news websites came in fourth place, and it's barely in fourth place. It's almost even with national cable news channel for an option. So it's pretty much a dead heat between a national news website and a national cable news channel as the fourth. It's a tie, basically, as the fourth option. And below that comes in a local news website. And then coming in last, relatively speaking, for this research, is radio. So to recap, Civic Science recently published a piece of research. It was a survey of nearly 46,000 American adults. They began this research on New Year's Day, 2024, and they concluded it on May 16th, 2025. And their research indicates that in first place, where Americans go first for breaking news, is a local news channel. But then rising and in second is social media. And then coming in third is a national network news, followed by a national news website, local news, national cable news, and then radio. So there you go. There you go. Interesting. Very, very interesting. I think it kind of surprises me on that. But nonetheless, the fact that social media is now, according to Civic Science and their research over almost a year and a half, social media is consistently separated from the pack as the second most popular choice to go to for breaking news. It's very interesting, and I think it reinforces for media, traditional media, legacy media, that they really need to not discount or diminish or dismiss social media, regardless of the politics on different platforms. You know, we're in this highly politicized culture where so many things are now popular by ideology. We also have that, of course, in social media, right? So you have media, marketing, politics, they want to put everybody in a box, right? They want to try to make life as simple as possible, as black and white for them, not for us, but for them. And so they try to do this neat, you know, segregation of people, right? So if you're, you know, conservative, so-called, you know, or Republican, so-called, right? You go to X. If you're liberal, so-called, progressive, so-called, you go to Blue Sky, right? Trump has his Truth Social, right? There's so many different, you know, and then there's smaller platforms. I don't think necessarily Civic Science is talking about things like TikTok and Instagram for breaking news. I think we can assume that it's mostly, you know, the X's and Blue Skies and maybe the social media channels of media where people would go to. But interesting research there. So let's now, since we're talking about media and the choices that people are making, let's pivot to YouTube's continued domination in media in general. It wasn't all that long ago that I had written an article for the Medium's Messages and More newsletter that reported that YouTube is quickly becoming the dominant source for overall media that people are going to. And this trend continues, and we see in April, according to Nielsen's media distributor gauge, this is a monthly report that Nielsen publishes that reports on what media is, you know, the most utilized by consumers, and also breaks it down, like in streaming, which channels are being used the most. So let's just first start off with Nielsen's April report on total media utilization, and what Nielsen reports for April is that of all media, now this includes traditional broadcast television, cable, satellite, pay, and streaming, the dominance of streaming just gets, you know, more solidified. And I have written extensively for the newsletter We've also done some podcast episodes about this, about the status of legacy media and traditional media, and how it continues to decline in status, and how it is in an existential crossroads where they need to make some big decisions on what they're going to continue to offer and how they're going to continue to offer it, and what are they going to do and what are they going to be. And Nielsen's April report just reinforces that legacy media really is up against the wall. And the dominance of streaming is clear. So for April, Nielsen reports that streaming made up 44.3% of all media usage. That's incredible. That streaming is closing in on accounting for half of all media consumption. So in April, it was 44.3%. Coming in at second was cable. And boy, cable, you might as well throw cable into the same basket as legacy media. I think the younger you go in demographics, especially 30 years of age and younger, traditional television, over-the-air broadcast television, is the same as cable. I think a lot of reports are indicating that when you go into the younger demographics now, especially college age and younger, those consumers look at cable channels such as TNT, TBS, AMC, CNBC, USA, HGTV, the Food Network, on and on. They might as well be ABC, NBC, CBS. It's kind of one of the same to them. They don't utilize it. They have actually very little interest in it. The brands don't really mean anything to them. So cable comes in April at 24.5%. And then behind cable is traditional television at 20.8%. And that's just incredible. It's stunning that traditional broadcast television, the giant legacy networks of ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, are down to 20.8% in total for media consumption. And I've seen some numbers recently. So if you think of the fact that Nielsen is reporting that total traditional broadcast consumption is now at 20.8%, that's total among all of the networks and so on. And think about the fact that there are prime time schedules that when you combine the networks on a given night, they are up to 60%, 70% less on some nights of what they used to have as far as viewing. And we've reported on this as well in our podcast episodes in the past, as well as in the newsletter articles, that really, ironically, we're just talking about breaking news and how local news is still the go-to. Well, local news, your traditional 6 p.m., 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock evening news is still a moneymaker for broadcast television stations. And that's why you see this proliferation of, even here in the New York City market, the largest market in the nation, you see network-owned channels. It used to be the local independent channels would do a lot of morning news blocks, hours and hours of morning news, because that was their biggest ratings for the day and therefore their biggest advertising money. But now you even see here in the New York market, you will see network owned and operated stations, as well as independent stations now just do hours and hours of local news programming. And that's because it remains a source of revenue. If they didn't have that, shut out the lights. Do what MTV does and just put episodes of ridiculousness on a loop. But the fact is that local news is still a moneymaker and still brings in audiences. But you also have to assume that a lot of that is muscle memory. A lot of that is older demographics who, this is what they do. This is what they've done for years. It's a habit. It's a tradition. So they'll turn on their preferable morning news channel, and then they'll do the same at 6 and 10 or 11. But the audience is dwindling. There's no doubt about it. And coming in after broadcast is the all-encompassing other category at 10.3%. And Nielsen also reports for its April study that traditional broadcast viewing is down in April 6% compared to a year ago. So again, the news for traditional media just gets bleaker and bleaker. Broadcast media consumption was just at 20.8% in April, and that is down 6% from a year ago. Cable is doing much worse, believe it or not, even though cable is in second at 24.5%. Compared to a year ago, Nielsen reports that cable viewing was 16% lower than a year ago. It's amazing. It's amazing. The cord cutting continues. The frustration with those that continue to hold out and pay for cable rises. Costs keep going up. And then you have these ridiculous ongoing blackouts for cable, where a cable provider will have a contractual dispute with a media group. And so then that channel or group of channels go black. And of course, people are paying for that. If a media group of channels are blacked out for a week or 2 weeks, you don't get a refund on that. And that's really stirring anger for the diminishing percentage of people that continue to pay for cable television. Interestingly enough, the Nielsen report indicates that the April 25 share for streaming was actually down, but it was down just about a point from a year ago. Which is interesting. So last April of 2024, it was at 45.3%. And this year it's at 44.3% in April. So, maybe something to look into. If streaming is going to continue to go down. Typically, everything kind of goes down over the summer anyway. This was for April. So we'll see the numbers for May, and we'll continue to look at it and see what happens. But no doubt about it, streaming is king, and streaming is by far the choice for media consumption today. Now, let's break down those numbers for streaming. And a little while ago, we were talking about YouTube's dominance in streaming. And there's no doubt about it that YouTube is pulling away from others in the streaming category as the primary outlet for media consumption. So let's break down these numbers that Nielsen provided for the month of April and take a look at all of the streaming channels in their survey and where they rank. So coming in at number one, once again, and pulling away, is YouTube. And YouTube is now accounting for 12.5% of all streaming in the month of April. 12.5%, that's up from a year ago in April, that's up nearly 30%. So really since 2025 began, we have been covering the emergence of YouTube as the most popular media channel for Americans to go to for media consumption and for entertainment. And it, relatively speaking, it's happened very quickly. And this Nielsen report for April indicates that, because a year ago, YouTube's share was 29% lower. So it has really risen, and it has risen fast. It was YouTube's third consecutive month at the top of the Nielsen chart. And interestingly enough, Netflix, which was the king of streaming for a long time, Netflix was by far the number one choice for streaming, and it had been pulling away until recently. Well, Netflix comes in second. And Netflix has been in second for a while now. In most research that I've seen, Netflix came in second at 7.5% of all streaming. And Netflix kind of went through this kind of relatively dark, quiet period last year. Where they were pulling back on new releases, they were canceling shows, but it's, I would say, really since the second quarter of this year, they have gone back to how Netflix used to be, and they are releasing much more new material. They seem to be doing a lot more PR, doing more publicity for the platform. And their content is increasing, and it's popular. So Netflix came in second at 7.5%. Coming in at third is Disney. And what's interesting with Disney is Disney has dropped as YouTube has risen. And Netflix has dropped and then rebounded. Disney is clearly dropping. There's a trend there that that is beginning to take place, where Disney's share in streaming seems to be going down consistently. So Walt Disney came in at third, and they dropped down to 5%. Now, this includes, Disney includes viewing on Disney Plus, ESPN Plus, and Hulu. And Disney is down from a year ago. Let me see what the research is saying. Disney is down about 1.5%. Although they did gain just about 0.5% from March. But overall, Disney is down. And that continues to be a trend that we're looking at. I think media observers are interested to see how Disney is going to fare over the summer. And even though they're clearly a major player in streaming, I've seen some analyst reports questioning if Disney has already hit its ceiling. And if Disney now is in a place where they're just going to try to, you know, do their best to retain streamers, or if they're going to pivot and try to create content exclusively for the Disney streaming platform to gain viewers. As a side note, you know, as a side note to Disney coming in third, you know, Disney owns ABC, the ABC television network. And ABC as a network, if you look at the primetime programming for ABC, it's a little stunning for a major television network. Even though it's a major television network on legacy television, which is of course, you know, diminished in its prominence, still though, it brings in millions and millions of viewers a week. And yet, if you look at the primetime programming for ABC, it has really been watered down. There's not a lot of new programming. And the head of Disney himself said just a few months ago, which caused the market to go crazy, and people at ABC started having anxiety fits because Iger at Disney, whether it was a slip and he didn't mean it, or it was stream of consciousness and he revealed his true feelings about ABC, but he did say at a meeting, a public meeting, that ABC was an asset that Disney did not really hold in high regard, in the sense of something that they needed to hold on to. And it might be something that they would spin off or sell. And when you look at the programming investment at ABC, it makes you wonder, because if you look at the primetime lineup at ABC now, a lot of it is game shows. A lot of it is game shows and live, you know, live reality shows. Not a lot of original programming. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. And of course, ESPN is a part of Disney as well. And it's really interesting that Nielsen, you know, makes sure that it tells us in its reports that when it accounts for Disney's share of streaming, that includes Disney Plus as well as ESPN Plus. And that's really surprising. And it's going to be something that media observers are going to be fascinated in observing on what's going to happen, because you would think with ESPN Plus being grouped in with Disney as the streaming platform, that its numbers would be higher. So that's a little interesting too. But we know that ESPN's audience on cable has been greatly diminished from what it used to be. It keeps bleeding viewers to the point where I think for survival, you know, and to give the executives at ESPN some credit, just looking forward, you know, and looking into the future, they realize ESPN's future is not cable. It's going to be streaming. And so therefore, they have invested heavily in ESPN streaming. and launching, you know, launching new offerings that include ESPN. But the fact that ESPN didn't help Disney get more than 5% share is interesting too. And that could be something related to the cost of sports programming. You know, we know, and we've covered this as well, that even though sports is the number one source of media consumption across the board, whether it's on broadcast or cable, the cost of it for the channels is becoming prohibitive. And for people who are sports consumers, paying for multiple streaming channels to get the sports they want is becoming prohibitive because of cost. So you get the feeling that the sports bubble is going to burst, that whether it is the networks or the channels themselves that are just not going to be willing to put out the money that they have been for sports, or it's that viewers can't afford to watch sports anymore on television, which is an absurd thing that sports would allow to happen, but it is happening. It does make you wonder what part of that is accounting for the fact that even though Disney has ESPN, it is not boosting their share in streaming. Coming in next after Disney is Amazon Prime. And Amazon Prime is actually a streaming channel that is on the upswing, mostly, almost exclusively because of sports. Amazon has really invested a lot into sports, of course, with the NFL now and their holiday games that they'll be offering, as well as Major League Baseball games. So Amazon's investment in sports, although relatively speaking, is the results are minimal compared to all the other networks and sources for sports, it is rising. And Prime Video has really pivoted to sports, especially the NFL. Coming in after Prime is the Roku channel. And I'm sure Roku is very happy to learn that they are at 2.5%. That's an uptick for them. They continue to increase viewers. Might be a correlation to the fact that they continue to increase their offerings on their Roku channel, on their live TV. Roku also, of course, has the built-in Roku TVs, Roku sets, where the Roku channel is prominent. So that helps gain and maintain viewers. So Roku channel is relatively speaking, a bright spot, doing well, continuing to grow slowly. But Roku, you know, if you look at it compared to a year ago, here's the big difference. Roku, according to Nielsen, for April of 25 compared to April of 24, Roku gained 71%. It's massive. So Roku has really done well in investing in its publicity. It's done well in expanding its offerings and its free, put that in quotes, its free offerings. So Roku has done very well for itself, a 75% bump in a year. Coming in after Roku is Paramount, and Paramount is almost in a tie with Roku at 2.5%. Paramount includes viewing on Paramount Plus as well as Pluto. And Pluto has done very well. Now, the thing with Pluto is Pluto was rising and rising and rising for a while, and it was gaining more viewers, it was gaining traction, and it kind of stalled a little bit. It looks like, you know, Pluto was in a battle with Tubi, and for a while there, I think Pluto had the bigger infrastructure with Paramount initially. But now Pluto seems to be quieting down a bit, where it's not gaining the viewers as it had been. And I will say this when it comes to Pluto, my own personal consumption of Pluto, I have experienced frustration with Pluto that it has become apparent that they have increased their commercials, the length of their commercial breaks and the number of the breaks. They have increased it. It is noticeable and it is not enjoyable. So I can say from my own experience that I have been utilizing Pluto a lot less because I got annoyed. Just a couple of weeks ago, I wanted to watch a couple of things on Pluto, and I really literally got annoyed with the number of commercial breaks. And I had started using Pluto not long after it first premiered, and I can see the difference in the number of commercial breaks. So I do wonder if that is coming into play, that Pluto is hurting itself in gaining and retaining viewers because of the increase of its commercial breaks. People aren't necessarily going to streaming for commercials, right? I mean, a lot of people are cord cutters and they're going to streaming as an alternative. But on top of that, you know, a lot of content on Pluto are movies and documentaries. And I don't think people want to have a lot of interruption in their viewing. And that seems to be the way Pluto has leaned. I'm going to assume, and I think it's a safe assumption, that part of Pluto's programming change is because of the ongoing drama between Paramount, which owns CBS, and the Trump administration. And of course, Paramount is trying to either sell itself or merge, be taken over. And the Trump administration is really playing hardball with Paramount. They're very unhappy with the now infamous episode of 60 Minutes when it interviewed Kamala Harris. And there was editing done that a lot of people, including those in the Trump administration, felt was not journalistic and was editing done to make the Democrat presidential candidate look better. And so there's this ongoing legal/business drama taking place. Paramount wants to merge, or it wants to sell itself, and it has to get, of course, approval from the federal government. That's not happening in any swift way. And so as Paramount continues to struggle, relatively speaking, financially, they lag behind other media providers. It makes you wonder if their increase in commercials on Pluto is to try to help boost the revenue as this drama plays out. It seems to be a fairly safe assumption. Anyhow, talking about Tubi, Tubi comes in at 2% of all viewers. And Tubi is an interesting case because Tubi goes up and down. And although it is much larger than it has been, and Tubi continues to be a very popular choice in surveys when it comes to streaming choices. Tubi continues to be, one of the most popular brands in streaming. Yet Tubi, as with Disney and a couple of other channels, including Pluto, seems to have hit a ceiling recently of growth. So Tubi was growing very well in 2024, month to month, and that seems to have slowed down. But Tubi within the Fox Corporation group has definitely become a very important asset. Even though its growth has kind of slowed a bit, it is a very popular choice for streaming viewers, and it is bringing in a lot of revenue. And so Tubi has now become a critical asset for the Fox Corporation, and we'll see where that goes, because Tubi's growth in viewers has kind of flatlined, minimal growth, and it goes up and down, so we'll see what happens with that. For comparison, I also watch Tubi a lot. I'm certainly watching more Tubi than Pluto lately, and I will give Tubi credit that I see far less commercials on Tubi, less commercials in less commercial breaks. So hopefully they stick to that business model, because I personally enjoy that. Let's now look at the rounding out of the streaming, and we have Warner Brothers Discovery Group coming at 1.5%. And then we have Peacock coming in at 1.4%. The decline of Peacock is very interesting. Peacock has really fallen over the last year in its streaming numbers, and it's an interesting situation. I've reading up on this, trying to figure out exactly, why this might be happening. And, NBC is owned by Comcast Universal. And I think you could argue that there seems to be less original content on Peacock than there was a while ago. Now, Peacock, of course, includes NBC, and it includes, contract with Notre Dame Sports, and it also is going to include the NBA now. So we'll see if these numbers go up. I suspect that Peacock's numbers will go up, because Peacock/NBC is doing what Amazon Prime has decided to do, and Peacock/NBC is going harder into live sports programming. I read a report recently that for the new fall television season coming up, more than half of all primetime programming on NBC will be sports. So that's an interesting pivot. It was just reported last week that NBC approached Major League Baseball, that it had expressed interest in picking up the Major League Baseball coverage that ESPN will be dropping. And I think that's primarily Sunday night, as well as some other primetime programming. But in the fall, NBC really goes in on the NBA. It has spent a lot of money to start broadcasting NBA games in prime time, and that's going to make up a decent amount of its primetime schedule, and it's going after MLB, as I just said, and of course it has its contract with the NFL as well. So Peacock might be more sports oriented in the months to come, and that might boost the numbers. But Peacock has been declining in its share and its status in the streaming world certainly isn't shining as brightly as it used to. So that's something to pay attention to as well. And going back to Warner Brothers Discovery, which is just above Peacock at 1.5%, Peacock's at 1.4%. Of course, the Warner Brothers Discovery Group, another media group kind of in flux. They have really noticeably pulled back on original programming, new programming. There are many, many shows, many series that the Warner Brothers Discovery Group owns on their platform that has basically put them in hiatus. So there's a lot of less new content across the board on the various channels that make up Warner Brothers Discovery. Again, though, to make note of a trend here, as with Amazon Prime, as with Peacock, Warner Brothers Discovery has pivoted to sports. So they are of course not happy with the fact that they lost an NBA contract, and that made up a big bulk of their programming. But they still have MLB. They're going heavier into the NHL. For the first time, the French Open was on TNT. And my gut tells me we're going to find out that didn't really go too well for the first year. I'm a tennis viewer. I almost never miss the big tournaments, the French, the Wimbledon, the U.S. Open, Australian. I almost never miss the majors. But this is the first year in a long time that I literally have not watched one full match of the French Open. And part of that, in my opinion, is that TNT fumbled badly. And maybe it's not TNT, maybe it's the parent company, but somebody fumbled very badly in the publicity and the promotion for the French Open on TNT. Because it was not publicized well, this move to TNT. And the programming itself, I kind of look at this, that if TNT is spending millions of dollars to be the home, the American home for the French Open, you got to be doing a hell of a lot better in offering access to it. And what I mean by that is, of course, TNT has its live coverage of the French Open, which typically starts about 5 a.m. New York time. But they do very little publicity for it in the after hours. So the French Open will end, let's say, in the afternoon, the mid-afternoon of at New York time. And for whatever reason, which I think is crazy, despite the millions of dollars that has been invested in having the French Open go to TNT, they don't do a primetime replay. They don't do a primetime recap show or a primetime highlight show. They don't do anything. They don't even play the French Open at late night. So the access to it, in my opinion, has become more limited than it should be. There's almost zero promotion for it. And so I'm wondering if this is going to be a dropped ball by Warner Brothers Discovery, and they're going to have to figure out how to do a better job next year because to me, their investment in the French Open has not paid off this year. I'm going to assume that they're going to put out press releases about the viewership and how great they were doing. And of course, you know, the French Open is airing from 5 a.m. to, you know, early afternoon New York time. I'm going to assume, well, hell yeah, you know, you put a lot of live sports on in that schedule block, and it's going to do better than the reruns you were playing. So I think once you get past the smoke and mirrors that they're inevitably going to put out about their numbers, I think the truth of it is that it's not going to meet their expectations, and that internally they know that they need more viewers. They should have gotten more viewers, and they need to do something differently with that. But nonetheless, that's where we stand on that. Let's, you know, because I think this is an interesting piece of information also to share on this Media Notes edition of the podcast, is broadcast television, even though we know that it has been diminished and that it is a shell of what it used to be, it's still traditional over-the-air broadcast television. The four networks still pull in millions of people. All of the major brands still advertise, so you can't just ignore it. So let's take a look, since we are now in June of 2025, let's take a look at the broadcast season and who won it, and go down in order of the networks and who came in first and so on. So for the 2024-2025 broadcast season, CBS is set once again to be the winner for the year. CBS will have its 17th consecutive season as the top primetime broadcast network. That's incredible. 17 years of being number one in primetime. And Paramount needs all the good news it can get. So the other good news is not only is CBS now the number one broadcast network in primetime for 17 years in a row, but their viewership is up 2%. Now, wrap your head around this. CBS is the number one broadcast network in prime time, it's up 2%. And it's average. So here's the average number of viewers that it gets. 5.7 million. That's 5.7 million average viewers, according to Nielsen. And of course, hey, listen, 5.7 million is nothing to sneeze at. But it is, of course, a lot lower than it used to be. Collectively, Nielsen reports some more good news for broadcast, and they, of course, need it. And that is collectively, all of the four major broadcast networks for the season were up in viewers, nearly 5%. So that's good news. Good news for the networks, although there should be a caveat there. So Nielsen reports that collectively the four major broadcast networks are up almost 5%. But a lot of that, at least the first 2 months of the television season, which begins in September, the first 2 months of that season, ratings were up because of live news related to the presidential election, which makes sense. But I'm guessing that if you took away the live news programming related to all things presidential election, that 4.5% increase would be, I think, substantially cut down. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in the coming fall and in the coming television season. If they maintain that, I'm going to say that based on the things that I've read, the research that I've seen, that that bump for broadcast was primarily due to the presidential election. But we'll see what happens. Nonetheless, it's good news for them as far as ratings go and the number of viewers they have. Coming in at second was NBC. And NBC was up 2% for the year. And they averaged about 5.1 million viewers. ABC came in third. They were basically flat for the year at 4.2 million viewers. And Fox came in fourth, although they came in fourth, they grew 14%, but most of that viewership growth of 14% was a result of the record viewership for the Super Bowl that they did air. So that's the way that these finished. CBS was first, NBC was second, ABC was third, and Fox was fourth. If you take out sports content, CBS remained in first place in prime time with about 5 million viewers. NBC was about a million people less in second. ABC was at 3.5 million in third, and Fox was at 2.1 million. Nielsen reports that 8 of the top 10 primetime shows for this past television season were all on CBS. And they break it down for us. So 8 of the top 10 primetime shows were all CBS. Tracker, Matlock, 60 Minutes, FBI, George and Mandy's First Marriage, Blue Bloods, NCIS, and Elsbeth. The only other network that had any shows in the top 10 was NBC. And those two shows were Chicago Fire and Chicago Med. Interesting. Interesting on that. While we're talking about television, let's look into, I know people are interested in this, since the television season is over, let's take a look at the shows on the four broadcast networks that are renewed or canceled. And let's start with ABC. We'll go alphabetical. So the shows that are renewed or canceled for ABC, 911 is renewed, Abbott Elementary is renewed, The Conners are canceled, Grey's Anatomy is renewed, High Potential is renewed, The Rookie, Shifting Gears, and Will Trent are renewed. And as of the beginning of June, Dr. Odyssey is still to be determined. Going to CBS, Blue Bloods, of course, has ended its run. It ended its run in December, so it's officially canceled. Elsbeth is renewed. The Equalizer has been canceled. FBI is renewed. FBI International, as well as FBI Most Wanted, is canceled. Fire Country is renewed. Georgie and Mandy's First Marriage, as well as Ghosts, Matlock, is renewed. NCIS, actually all three NCIS, NCIS, NCIS Origins, and NCIS Sydney have all been renewed. The Neighborhood has been renewed for a final season. Papa's House has been canceled. SWAT has been canceled. Tracker and Watson have been renewed. Go over to the CW. And at the CW, All-American has been renewed for a final season. Children Ruined Everything has been canceled, although a fourth season will premiere on CW. So Children Ruined Everything is a Canadian sitcom, and it has been canceled by CTV up in Canada. But there's a season that hasn't aired yet on the CW, which will air over the summer. Family Law has been renewed. Good Cop, Bad Cop has been renewed. Joan, which was a limited series, has been canceled. Sherlock and Daughter is to be determined. Sight Unseen to be determined. Son of a Critch to be determined. Sullivan's Crossing has been renewed. Superman and Lois has been canceled. And Wild Cards is to be determined. So CW is still a lot of things up in the air over there. We go over to Fox. Fox has officially canceled 911 Lone Star. Accused is to be determined. American Dad has been renewed. Animal Control has been renewed. Bob's Burgers has been renewed. The Cleaning Lady has yet to be determined. Doc has been renewed. Family Guy, Going Dutch have both been renewed. The Great North looks to be canceled. Grimsburg has been renewed. Krapopolis has been renewed. Murder in a Small Town has been renewed. Rescue High Surf has been canceled. The Simpsons have been renewed. And Universal Basic Guys have been renewed. Over at NBC, to wrap things up, Brilliant Minds has been renewed. Chicago Fire, Chicago Med, and Chicago Police have all been renewed. Found has been canceled. Happy's Place has been renewed. The Grosse Pointe Garden Society has yet to be determined, although I'm reading here that it is a long shot to be renewed. The Hunting Party has been renewed. The Irrational has been canceled. Law and Order, as well as Law and Order SVU, have been renewed. Lopez versus Lopez has been canceled. Night Court has been canceled. St. Denis Medical has been renewed. And Suits LA has been canceled. So there's a rundown of all of the television shows that have been renewed or canceled for the upcoming season. And how about we just wrap things up with some small pieces, some small tidbits here of media news. New York Magazine has decided to join Substack. I'm on Substack with Medium's Messages and More. Well, now New York Magazine has joined me and many others on the Substack platform. And it is publishing a daily newsletter on the platform called Dinner Party. And that decision by New York Magazine to join Substack is part of a trend of traditional or large media going into podcasting as well as Substack, where there are growing audiences for both. And on a journalistic side, the old journalist in me is kind of optimistic that Substack might be the next generation of news channels and news distribution, where you might be able to get, just like with podcasting, Substack, I think Substack is a great place for news outlets, news organizations, to put content on there that is really specific to a certain topic or audience. It's a great way to grow it, and then to tie that in to your other channels and the motherships and all. So we'll see what happens with that. But New York Magazine's decision to go onto Substack is another good sign that maybe, just maybe, the worst for print media could be over here, and that they have found a new outlet to grow audiences and readerships. And of course, you know, there's the free Substack, but there's also the subscription based. So that could be another way to grow paid subscribers as well. Another piece of news regarding media in Oregon: the legislature is considering a bill that is going to mandate that Google and Meta and other large online platforms compensate media organizations for content. Now, this has been going on for quite a while now in legislatures. Some states have passed. It's more popular over in Europe, where media organizations have to get paid by online platforms that are scraping their websites and offering news. Over in Oregon, the Senate Committee on Rules, they did recommend the passage. So it's now going to go to the full Senate. So hopefully something like this will pass. I have said over the years, and as a professional who started off as a reporter covering city hall politics, police, city council meetings, my roots are in journalism. My roots are in print journalism. I absolutely hate what has happened to it, and how it is a shell of what it used to be, as far as the number of jobs, the number of outlets, and the quality and the quantity being produced. But I have said for a long time, one of the worst managed industries is newspapers and journalism. Absolutely, they did it to themselves years and years ago when Google was new. And I started seeing the news tab, and all of this content and all of this work was being offered on a search engine for free. And the newspapers and the magazines and the media conglomerates were very slow in doing anything about it. And actually, for the first decade or so, they made a deal with the devil. They tried to indulge the search engines and let them have that content for free, with the promise of reciprocal links and getting a share of revenue from clicks. And it just never happened. It just fell apart. And by the time the media ownerships realized that they had cut their own throats, it was too late. It was too late. And so hopefully there is some legislature that will mandate that search platforms, other websites, things like Facebook, anything that is offering news that is being produced by third parties, and they're offering it in full, there should be some type of compensation there. It is creative, it is work, it's copyright, so hopefully if it does pass in Oregon, that will make other states fall in line and do the same thing as well. Byron Allen, I don't know if a lot of people know who Byron Allen is, but for those in the media world, of course, we know that he is one of the most successful executives in media today. What I always find funny about this is that I think of Byron Allen still as the stand-up comedian from years ago, the entertainer from years ago. But he went into media. He built himself an empire that is now the Allen Media Group. And the Allen Media Group has reported that after investing over $1 billion in buying television stations from all different network affiliates over the years, they are now at a place where they want to sell at least 21 stations. And these 21 stations are affiliated with various networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox. And it's interesting to see what's going to happen with this, that they have bought all of this media property, and now they're looking to sell, who they're going to eventually sell to. And the reason for it, although my understanding is the primary reason that Allen Media Group wants to sell these nearly two dozen stations is to really put a dent in their debt that they have. And that just might be all there is to it. Disney, as large as Disney is, I know this is gonna rub people the wrong way, but Disney announced that they are cutting several hundred jobs. And I know it's a head scratcher. It makes me shake my head. One of the largest media companies on earth, one of the richest companies on earth, and yet they're going to be laying off several hundred workers this summer. And primarily, these include staffers in the marketing division, publicity division, casting and development, as well as corporate finance. So they say this is, of course, a cost efficiency measure, and that they need to reduce operating costs so they can refocus on their streaming business. We just got done talking about their streaming a little while ago in this episode and how it has started to fall. It's flatlining. It's really not growing. And it's also not offering the new content as it had. So, you know, do you want to give them the benefit of the doubt? They are literally tying the job cuts to refocusing on streaming. In that sense, well, we can at least make an argument that they need to do something for their streaming to prop it up again. So apparently their answer is, let's just cut several hundred jobs, and that money will help us do what we need to do for the streaming business. We shall see. And let's wrap things up with news about Saturday Night Live. Of course, SNL just ended its 50th season on NBC. And its 50th season was a good one for SNL. Their viewership was up 12% from season 49. And it hit a three-year high. They were averaging 8.1 million viewers across platforms, not just television, but Peacock as well. So congrats to SNL and its 50th anniversary. I never watch it. I haven't watched SNL in a long, long time. But congratulations for a historic show on their 50th anniversary. And with that, we are going to wrap up this episode, this Media Notes edition of the Mediums, Messages, and More podcast. Thank you so much for joining me and listening. I really appreciate it. You can go to Substack and type in Mediums, Messages, and More. And there you will find on Substack the Mediums, Messages, and More page where all past articles, including podcasts now too, are on there. Or you can go to GeneKingLive.com, and on that website, you will find all episodes of this podcast in the podcast player, very convenient to use. You will also find the Substack newsletter, as well as an archive of all the articles and other content as well, including the YouTube channel. So it's all over there at GeneKingLive.com as well. Until next time, I thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it. And until we meet each other again, be well, be safe, and talk to you soon.